Near the end of your Old Testament, good old Habby, as his friends used to call him, Habakkuk. Recently, our good friend Kirvin retired from his career at the cement plant. 48 years. We've all enjoyed, as he's been our Sunday school teacher, some of the stories and adventures that he's relayed to us, and especially the fact that he really dedicated his life and his career to God, asking God often, how do you do this and how will you solve that? And the Lord made him a very successful executive there. And so while he was in the process of retirement, the company asked him to compile a report, over 130 pages report of where he saw the company going in the next 5 years. And then he was to offer this report in front of the board of directors of this international corporation, and they would be asking him questions, and he would defend what he had to say. And so in this room were some very bright, intelligent, gifted businessmen, and they took him to task over a number of the things that he was talking about in his report. And Kirvin had related to me, when he walked away from that meeting, he understood from the questions that they were asking him that they had come from two different angles on this. He had one, and they had another. His point of view was, what will make this company healthy over the next 5 years? What are the things that we can project that will leave this thing in good hands? Whereas the people who were questioning him from that committee, their mindset was, what will make us more profit right now? What will bring in the most money in the immediate? And you see, those are two different ways of viewing something. A healthy company will produce good returns, good solid returns for years to come, job security. It thinks about the workers as well as the profits and so on. Whereas when we're only concentrating on immediate profits, well, you often steal from the future just in order to. How often we've seen companies come in, they'll buy a smaller company, they'll strip it of all its worth, and then try to sell it at a profit and try to make money coming and going. But what is in the wake of that? How many workers are out of a job, and what happens to the quality of all that's going on? Well, you know, a similar pattern takes place in our life. And there are two different ways that you approach your life. You can concentrate on an overall healthy life, or just immediate satisfaction. We know that some people need to live from paycheck to paycheck. Well, some folk live from day to day. No thought about tomorrow. No thinking about the future. They've just become kind of desperate, and they're just trying to scratch the itch of the moment. But if you'll have a broader view, and you want to be founded on a solid foundation, and you want good things to come, you're going to seek out the wisdom and the knowledge that come from God alone. But if all you're into is immediate satisfaction, you've got a lot of misery and failure in your future. I hate to tell you that. Well, I just need it. Well, you would understand if you were in my, I just need a little this. I just need a little bit of that. No. What you really need is a better tomorrow. All of us can endure a little bit worse today if we know tomorrow can be better. But if we're spending against tomorrow, what in the world do we have to look forward to? The word that the Lord laid on my heart today, when I give it to you, you might think, duh. But it was a real epiphany to me. It's really changed the way I look at life. And I hope that in its simplicity, it'll do the same for you. And it's about this living today for a better, healthier tomorrow. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 out of the New Living Translation. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by faith. Father, some of my friends are in such severe suffering that thinking about tomorrow is like beyond them. Today, their heart hurts. Today, their body aches. Today, there's an immediate need. And so I pray that somehow both will happen today, that you meet the immediate need and you help them lay a structure, a stronger structure for the future, all of us. Be here, Lord. You are Emmanuel, the God that is with us, and we need that today. We're desperate for you. But also, God, we need something to look forward to, hope. We need hope for tomorrow. Show us the way. And we'll thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by faith. The proud is Habakkuk's way of grouping everybody together who rejects God. They're going to do it their way. I did it my way. They've got their own path that they're trying to blaze. They trust in themselves. I can do this. I am able. I am skilled. I know what I'm doing. They trust in themselves so much, they know better than God does. It's the way they think. That's a pretty high opinion of oneself, wouldn't you say? I know better than God. And they may not say that in so many words, but when God says, do this, and they do that, they're living in that reality that they believe they know better than God. Don't give me none of that religious stuff. I know what's best for me. No, you do not. You've made a mess of things, and that's only going to continue. All of your self-directed efforts are doomed. If they haven't blown up in your face yet, just wait. Just wait. It's not going to work the way you have planned. This whole letter of Habakkuk is based on a question that the prophet brought to God. So here we've got a godly man, and he's looking up to the Lord, and he says this, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere, I cry, but you do not come to save. Okay, I'm a prophet, I'm supposed to be this godly man, and I got this ministry to these wicked people. What good is it doing? How long do I call on you until you do something about all the mess that's going on around us? How long is the abortion going to roar? How long is violence going to... How long with all the addictions going on? The violence is everywhere, I cry. But you do not come to save. Whew, pretty bold, eh? Pretty bold. And so God gives him an answer. He says, I'll tell you what, I'm raising up the Babylonians. The Babylonians are a fierce, savage people who are going to attack your nation and kill just about everybody in about the most savage way you can imagine. And the prophet is just plain stunned. That's not the answer I was looking for. That wasn't the plan that I was proposing here. See, what I thought would happen is, I'll be your prophet, you will do some miracle stuff, and people will get convicted, and they'll all repent, and woohoo, we'll all go to the temple, and we'll dance, you know, this will be a great time. That's what I thought. But let me tell you what's wrong with your plan, God. You are proposing to use people more wicked than us to punish us. We're bad, but we're not Babylonian bad. We're hypocrites. We're hypocrite bad, but we're not savage bad. And it doesn't seem right that you would use more wicked people to punish less wicked people. It doesn't quite make sense to me there. And he just kind of swirling here. His mind is, he's got a headache all of a sudden. But you see, both the disobedient Israelites and the savage Babylonians are under this category of the proud. Neither one cares about what God has to say. The Israelites, they put on this pretense of faith, religion, but they don't practice it. What they believe doesn't affect what they do, and therefore they don't really believe it. There really isn't a difference between a hypocritical Christian and a blatant sinner, as it were. And so there are church people that fit into this category of the proud. They're going to live the way they want to live, and you're not going to tell them any different. They don't care what the church says. They don't care what God says. They live the way they feel. My wife was reminding me this week of something I've said a lot over the past couple years. My disappointment in the elderly of our society. I go to Walmart, and I see what you would think were sweet old ladies, sweet little old ladies, and the mouths on those things, and the things they talk about, and their attitudes. And we used to say, you know, well, these young people these days. I'm starting to say, well, these elderly people these days. They're living together outside of marriage. They're, you know, they're just the whole nine yards. Do you know what percentage of Facebook users are over 65? 41%. We always thought, you know, grandma and grandpa, they don't know what they're doing with a computer and all this and that. They're causing trouble with their computers. That's what they're doing. The proud. I'll live as I please. You can go to church, and you're no different than a lot of the most wicked people in the world. And, of course, non-church people are part of this group as well. But when you decide you're not going to obey the Lord, not going to give generously, not going to choose your words to be a representative of God wherever you go, you choose your entertainments that inflame your lusts, live in order to please your flesh. When you do whatever you feel like doing, whenever you feel like doing it with no check at all, it's your life, your money, your time. You want to have sex outside of marriage? You have sex outside of marriage. You want to live together? You want whatever. If they want to gamble or drink or smoke or party. See you in church on Sunday. Hey, isn't this Sunday night the beer and hymns? No, not this church. I remember one of the prophets from the Old Testament. I don't remember which one. Maybe, Ray, you can help me. I'll give you a quiz. He said, the prophet you want, if a prophet was to come and prophesy to you more wine and beer, that's just the prophet for you. We have a lot of those kind of prophets today. We have a lot of churches like that today. No pretense at religion. It's not Christianity any longer. We fight for the right to sin today, to live immoral lives, to party like fools, to live like animals. There's a real push going on. You don't stand in my way. If you do, we'll make fools out of you. I don't know if you were familiar with recently Hallmark Channel decided they weren't going to run a commercial with a gay wedding in it. And so they decided, boy, the backlash. They apologized. They, you know, running the commercial. Ooh, don't stand in the way of those who want to live the way they want to live. And it's all, you know, politically correct. And now all of a sudden we're politically incorrect. Did you know that 4 times as many people died from alcohol-related problems last year than died from the opioid epidemic, as we call it? 4 times as many have died from alcohol-related things than opioid. And yet, what's the what's the battle today over? You know? And what is the difference? Is it tax money? Is it what? No, we tried to calm alcohol down some decades ago and found out, oh, no. Don't touch that one. You know, you get in the way of that one. We better legalize that and go on from there. These people erase the lines between married and unmarried, male and female, straight and crooked. They're proud of their self-determined lifestyles, ready to violently shout down anyone who talks about God, who has a better plan for their lives. So this is Habakkuk's life. He lived among a violent, immoral, dishonest bunch of hypocrites. And then the Babylonians were going to come in and kill them all. Woohoo! Hallelujah! What are you looking forward to? Well, let me tell you. What a great life. Maybe you feel like Habakkuk today. You look around and say, man, I am in the middle of a mess right now. It's not good. And I look up ahead. The light at the end of the tunnel is a train coming this way. It doesn't look good. Words of great comfort indeed. Well, no, it's pretty unsettling. It's bad now, it's going to get worse. But, the Lord says, the righteous will live by faith. There is a light at the end of this tunnel. Here is the word of hope. If you live in an immoral society, you are not free to join them. God doesn't go for that, but everybody else is. You know? He doesn't grade on a curve. You are expected to live by faith, even when no one else does. You will answer for yourself. Now, this is the crux of the message. What is faith? I used to kind of read this more, well, the just shall live by faith. Okay, warm, fuzzy feelings that everything's going to be okay in God. That's not what it's saying. The just shall not live by warm, fuzzy feelings. The just will live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. They curse, you do not. They cheat, you remain faithful. They become violent, you're a peacemaker. They're greedy, you are generous. They wound, you heal. You're called to be different. When you went through elementary school, when you went through high school, oh, you could say, well, this is an ungodly place. If I'm going to survive, I got to fit in. And so I got to act like the natives do here. Kill or be killed. Curse or be cursed. No. No. If you're a Christian young person going to school, you are called to live a different life than everybody else there. The just shall live by faith. They ought to be able to pick you out of a crowd just like that. Oh, yeah, he's one of them. She's another one. Yeah, oh, Jesus. Where you work. It's easy enough to say, well, you know what? I just got to get through school, and after I'm done through school, then I can be a Christian. Well, then you get a job, and you find out it's no lighter there than it was in school or a neighborhood, and they're having their party, and the just shall live by faith. We might as well dye ourselves purple and have pink hair. Of course, we wouldn't stand out in this, but what, I don't know, whatever it would do. There's one. There's another one. The just shall live by faith. They live by their sin. They have their own code of conduct. And boy, does it change. It has a lot of addendums to it. They'll tell you one thing on Monday, and by Tuesday they've changed their mind. No, I guess that's okay after all, because this is what I'm going through right now. Oh, yeah, I always said that was wrong, but you need to understand what's happening. They live by their sin. You Live by your faith. What would Jesus do? What am I supposed to do as a son or a daughter of God? That's how I want to live. The just shall live by faith. The world will go nuts. We are called to walk a steady path. But Pastor, it's so much harder to do that. Yes, it is. But we have the grace of God. And the rocky path is meant to keep driving us back to God. God, I can't do this. That's right. But I will help you to do it. Have you asked Him to help you? Have you surrendered to Him in the middle of this? Lord, how in the world am I supposed to ask Him? The prophet, Lord, how long will I cry out to you and it only gets worse? What are you doing about it? Like violence on every side. Don't you care about violence? Oh, you have a plan. God answers questions. Steve Gephardt in prayer this morning, his son Brad lost his drill. It was an expensive drill, a drill he uses all the time. He told his dad, have you seen my drill? I can't find my drill. And Steve said, have you asked God to help you find it? Well, no. Why don't you do that? So he did. He went in the house. He asked God, Lord, would you please help me find my drill? He walks out into his tool building. He looks down and there's his drill sitting in a bucket right there. Why don't you ask God? You know, I think that's like one of the major lessons of life that we keep forgetting for some reason. Why don't you ask God? Lord, why am I here working at this company right now? Lord, why did you put me in this school? The answer may not be an easy one. It may not be a delightful one. Oh, I'm sending the Babylonians. How many work with the Babylonians already? You go to school with them? Yeah. You know, I'm there. He put me there. What you need to remember is this is of God. I am a child of God. How am I going to survive? I'm going to live by faith. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to shortcut. I'm going to do this God's way and trust that in the end, it's going to have been worth it all. Can you trust God? Yes. Who else can you trust? What else would you invest your life in? Who would you put your life into their hands? The just shall live. There's life in our faith. It's not just a duty. It's not just a drudgery. It's just not a, well, everybody else gets to go to the party and I got to go. Yeah. There's life in our faith. If you really find faith, if you really trust Him. I don't know if you've ever been all alone other than God, but He's enough. He is a sufficient partner. I was telling somebody about it this past week when I was in college. I was dating Barb from Pittsburgh, and I was in Missouri, 800 and some mile difference. And Friday night, everybody else would be leaving campus arm in arm, and off they would go, and I would be watching them out the window go. And I would often just make my way to the chapel and kneel down before the Lord. And there were such sweet times with God. I had one friend. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this. He was always engaged. Always engaged to somebody different. He was, you know, sophomore year, he was engaged to a girl on campus. Went home for the summer, he was engaged to a girl at home. Came back, he was junior, he's engaged to a different girl on campus. You know, wow, how do you do that? You know, you're engaged. He couldn't love them from a distance. He had to, you know. There will be times in your life when you feel distant from God. When you feel all alone, that's a test. When nobody else is cheering you on. The just shall live by faith. It's not about feelings. We Pentecostals are very guilty of this. Oh, I love a good feeling, don't you? Woohoo! Love to feel good. How many know that life doesn't always feel good? But I will do what is right. I will trust that as I do what is right, God will see and God will reward. My Aunt Lika, godly woman. My Uncle John, not a woman or godly. Uncle John. He loved his booze. Life was hard for Lika. She stayed married to that man. I forget how many years. On his deathbed, he gave his life to Christ. On his deathbed, a whole lifetime of misery. I wouldn't have blamed Lika if she hadn't said, "No, no, not now. No, I'm going to choke you before you could say the sinner's prayer because you are not going to heaven. You don't deserve it." No, that wasn't her heart. Nope. There was a prize. It took a lifetime. But then you'd be surprised how quickly a lifetime goes past. The just shall live by faith. Our reward is sure. It is coming, and it is eternal. Hallelujah. There will be rest for your weary soul. There will be a body. No aches or pains. There are no meds in heaven. You don't have to remember, did I take that pill or not? Which one was it? It was for my memory. I can't remember whether I took it or not. I don't know. No meds in heaven. Whew, glory. What's the song say? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Just one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. The just shall live by faith. Funny thing about this, there are a lot of just people living by faith. You may not know any other of them at the moment. Remember the prophet when he said, "I'm the only one left." And God, "Oh, that's not true. That's not true. I got 700 or 7,000, whatever." Never bowed their knee. They've never kissed the Baals. You're not alone. I got sweet old grandmothers. I got little kids from kids' church that refuse. They will not kiss that Baal. I got teenagers. I got them all over. You may not see them, but I got my people. Are you going to be one of my people? Are you going to live by faith, or are you just going to live by your feelings? Oh, I feel. I don't mean to make fun of you. Maybe just a little. Others live by their raging hormones or guilty pleasures. We live by our faith. And don't apologize for it. Not in the church, not outside the church. I trust my God. But what about when the Babylonians come to kill us all and burn our nation to the ground? What good's my faith going to do? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. God knows how to protect those who are his own. He can keep you pure in a wicked generation. Stop with the excuse. "Well, but what do you expect?" Ah, what does he expect? He died on the cross to give us the strength to make it through right. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I fall sometimes. I fail. I take a wrong, but he gets me back on the path. He cleans me up and he gives me the power to overcome. That's what he expects. He has the power to keep me pure in a wicked generation, even if I have to walk alone. And he has the power to protect me during an invasion of the Babylonians. You know, that exact thing happened for Jeremiah. Do you remember that story? They broke through the walls. They're killing everybody. They found Jeremiah. Jeremiah was chained among the captives. And the commander found him and let him out of his chains. And he said, oh, no, not him. He spoke the truth in God's name. We're going to take care of this fellow. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen to the nation when. Pray for our nation. Amen. That it doesn't happen. Pray for revival in our nation and everything. But even if it all falls down around you, God knows how to take care of you. No matter how much water you have stored up in the basement and solar panels on the roof, so you got a little electricity. Do the best you can. But he took his prophet, he sat him by a stream, and he had ravens bringing bread and meat every morning, and bread and meat. God knows how to supply for his own. The just shall live by faith. God can keep you pure in the middle of a frat house of a society, and he can keep you safe in the middle of an invasion. What's your plan? I trust in Jesus. Have faith that you are doing it the right way by waiting until marriage to sleep with your mate, even if everyone else in church does it otherwise. Have faith that if the stormtroopers and terrorists invade our land, that God will cover you. If you continue to live by your faith and not get caught up in all the drama of the world, you will survive, you will thrive, you will inherit all the promises of God. The meek shall inherit the earth. I'm asking you today to decide to live by faith. When I go back to school tomorrow, when I go back to work tomorrow, when I go home this afternoon, I'm going to live my faith from now on. I'm not going to coddle. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to camouflage. I'm not going to laugh at what isn't funny. I'm not going to play that game any longer. I am going to live by faith. Make the Lord the center of your life. Obey his commands. Order your life as one who believes in the coming reward, not the immediate gratification of fleeting sinful pleasures. I'm going to obey him. God says, tithe, I tithe. That's all there is to it. You don't have to show me charts. You don't have to give me testimonies. This person started in that, and that's all true, and it's all good. He said it. I put my faith in it. I'll follow it. Live by faith. Keep a tight rein on your tongue. Season your conversation with salt. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Others who call themselves Christians may run ahead, play in the mud, drink themselves drunk. They were in church. They said they love God. They said the sinners. Why? How come they can? Let them go. Let them go. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe they don't know any better. I don't know. But God will be my God. The just shall live by faith when everyone else is living by faith and when everyone else has gone nuts. Habakkuk goes on to talk about the short-lived glory of the ungodly. Oh, yeah, they look like a shooting rocket today. They're all that. They're running ahead. How's come they get to do this? And how's come they get to do that? And I never had one of these, and I never had one. But they all have it. What's going on here? The glory of the wicked is short-lived. Suddenly the wheels fall off. Their glory turns to dung. Their popularity to humiliation. Everyone who follows the crowd, get this, everyone who follows the crowd will end up lonely and empty. Everyone who follows the Lord inherits the kingdom of God. Lonely and empty, the kingdom of God. Temporary crowd, eternal glory. These are our choices. You may live among a violent, foul-mouthed, wicked people, only to endure an invasion later. Pastor, it's been hard and it's getting worse. But the just shall live by faith. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Would you stand with me this morning?